2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is the same verse we studied last Sunday night, but we're not done studying it. And Lord willing, we'll keep studying this verse next Sunday night as well. So if you will, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's notice verse 14 as the Apostle Paul offers up this statement of praise, this statement of gratitude to God. And the Apostle Paul says, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Let's think about that statement some more, where the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. As I mentioned last Sunday night, just to show you a few of the different translations of this verse, the King James says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." And then today's English version puts it this way, "But thanks be to God, for in union with Christ, we are always led by God as prisoners in Christ's victory procession." And then the New Living Translation puts it this way, "But thanks be to God who made us His captives and leads us along in Christ's triumphal procession." I mentioned last Sunday evening that it was often the Roman general would come back from a conquest and he would ride into Rome and he would be in front with the army behind, and then all his captives would be behind him. All those that he has taken as prisoners would be behind. And so the imagery here is that God has made us His captives. And Jesus Christ is the King, the ruler, the leader. And we now belong to Jesus. And Jesus is leading us in His triumphal procession. So I want us to think about this theme again tonight. As transparency prepared, I want us to think about what our victory in Jesus really is. What do we have victory over? What is our conquest in Christ? Or I suppose to say this in other words, how well off are we in Jesus? And I have a number of verses to look at, but I thought tonight, instead of me reading all the verses, perhaps I would assign some of the verses. So if you'd like to read a scripture passage, just put your hand up and I'll assign some verses. So I have Romans. We can read this one again. I know we read it for our scripture reading, but Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Anyone like to take this verse? Go ahead, Dolores. I'm looking for my pen here. I'm going to write down Dolores next to Romans 5:1 here, just to keep myself organized. All right, then we have Ephesians 1, verse 7. Anyone want to take Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7? Go ahead, Mary Jo. So that was Ephesians 1, verse 7. Okay, then we have Romans 6, verse 14. Who wants to read this? Jonathan, I see that look in your face. You're just eager to read Scripture tonight. Romans 6, verse 14. It's great to have such a willing son. Romans 8, verse 14. Anyone for Romans 8, verse 14? Carl. That's Romans 8, verse 14. All right, then Romans 8. Boy, we have a lot in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 11. Go ahead, Wally. You can do Romans 8, verse 11. And if you forget what verse you had, that's okay. You can ask me, because I'm writing all this down here to keep track of things. All right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Anyone for Colossians chapter 1, verse 13? Colossians 1, verse 13. Okay. So you'll do Colossians 1, verse 13. Yeah, your sister's just looking out for you there. Yeah.
You know what would help if you just, I know it's, could you just help us with the pages?
Oh, the page number?
Where we go.
Oh, okay. I could do that. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that in the next one. So we got these assigned so far. But if someone would like to read 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, and that would be page number 1197. So if someone would like to do that one, feel free to raise your
hand.
Okay, so that would be 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, and that's page 1197 in the Church Bible. All right, why don't we read these first, then I have a few more, so I'll assign the others later, but let's start here. So I want us to think about what it is we have victory over. Where is our victory? Christ is leading in this triumphal procession. He's the king, he's the leader, he has bought us with the cost of his own blood. We belong to him. So where is our victory? That's what we want to notice tonight. So number one, we have victory over the penalty of sin. God is not going to judge us for our sins. God is not going to punish us for our sins. And so we have Dolores with Romans 5, verse 1. That's it. Yeah, just verse 1. Yeah. So that's it. We have peace with God through faith in Jesus. We have peace with God. We're no longer God's enemies. We're no longer under God's judgment. We no longer feel the wrath or the judgment of God on our sins. That's good news. That's a real freedom. It's a real liberation to know that we have been released from God's just judgment on our sins. Okay, and then Ephesians 1 verse 7. That was Mary Jo. Ephesians 1 verse 7.
In pain, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Yes, amen. Through faith in Jesus, we have redemption. In other words, we're liberated. We're set free from sin, its penalty, its power. We're bought by Jesus. We're owned by Jesus. Jesus takes us unto himself. In Jesus, we have full, complete redemption. And the Apostle Paul spells out what that means. It means we have the forgiveness of sins. All sins are forgiven. And it's all according to the riches, the abundance of God's grace that he pours out on us in Christ Jesus. So, we have real victory over the penalty of sin. Number two, we also have victory over self. I have victory over selfishness. I have victory over sin or evil. Because God is transforming my life. He's changing me. And the whole purpose of our salvation experience is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. All right, let's look at some verses here. Jonathan, you had Romans 6, verse 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Amen. The Apostle Paul says, sin is not going to exercise its dominion over you. Sin is not going to exercise lordship over you. Sin is not going to be your master. Sin is not going to be your king, because you're not under the law. The law was powerless to change us. All the law did was expose our sin and show us that we come short of God's will. But we are under God's grace. And in God's grace, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who works in our lives to change us and to transform us into the image of Jesus. After all, the apostle says, for the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So you see, I don't have to be a victim of anger and jealousy and wrath and bitterness and resentment. I don't have to walk around with a chip on my shoulder. I don't have to walk around being afraid and feeling insecure and letting everybody else see my insecurities. I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to be a slave to myself, because I'm now a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we had Romans 8, verse 14. Carl, you had this verse.
Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Yes, amen. We're being led by the Spirit of God, so I don't have to follow all the evil passions of my human nature. The Spirit is leading me, and the Holy Spirit always leads me to do God's will. All right, number three. We'll move right along here tonight. Number three, we have victory over death. Now, we haven't gotten this victory yet, okay? But if we die, we have the assurance that we'll be raised from the dead, even as Jesus was raised from the dead. So it's sort of a blessing or a benefit that's sort of set aside for us in the future. Let's read Romans 8, verse 11. Wally, you had this verse.
But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen. This is the promise of God. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that we have that was given to us as a gift to show us that God loves us. That same Holy Spirit will also raise our dead bodies, and we will be like the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We will have a body like His resurrection body. So, as Christians, we can look forward to victory over death as well. We also have victory over Satan and the world. The devil is God's arch enemy. And the devil is out to get as big a following as he can for himself, to lead people away from God, to blind them, to fill our world with lies and falsehoods and erroneous ideas and philosophies. The devil wants people to be in a state of confusion about the truth and what's right and what's wrong. And we see that more than ever in our own society. But we have been set free from the devil. We're not under the dominion of the devil. We're not under the clutch or the grasp of the devil. And so we have Colossians 1 verse 13. That was Mary Jo's sister. Colossians 1 verse 13.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of God.
Yes, amen. This is probably the biggest transfer we've ever gotten. Some people don't like job transfers. They like to stay right where they are. But we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. We have been transferred out of the devil's kingdom. We don't belong to the devil anymore. We've transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. And because of that, we receive the love of God as well. We're transferred into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves, and we also receive the love of God as well because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we belong to Jesus. We're His. We're no longer under the rule and the thumb and the governance of the devil. And then we have 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. I believe, Eileen, you have this verse.
1 John what?
1 John 5,
yes.
And verses 4 and 5.
Okay. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen. Thank you. So in this verse, the world is not the physical material world. It's not the world that God created. It's not even in general the world of people. But it's the world, the system, that is arrayed against the plans and the purposes of God. I like to think of it as the antagonistic world. It's the world. It's the world of people and Satan and the devil. It's the world of politics. It's the whole organized system of evil that's arrayed against the plans and the purposes of God. And we have been set free from that because we have been taken out of that. We now belong to Jesus. And what it is that gives us victory over this world system of evil that's arrayed against the plans and the purposes of God is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us and liberates us from the world system of evil and all of the judgment that is coming on this world system of evil. All right, let me hand out a few more verses. Let's look at another batch of verses. Would someone like to read 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9? Go ahead, Dolores. Let me write this down here. Dolores has 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 13. Go ahead, Mary Jo. Philippians 4, verse 13. And then I'll take Romans 8, because that's about three verses there. I'll read that one. And then Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. Who wants this one? Go ahead, Carl. You take Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. And then Romans 8, verse 18. Anyone for this one? Go ahead, Wally. And then Unsung, do you want to read then Acts 16, verse 25? There's just one verse there. Acts 16, verse 25 for Unsung. Okay, very good. Okay. So now let me just move my little transparency down here. So my next point is that being part of Christ's victory procession, we have victory over fear and despair. We don't need to live our lives in constant fear and worry and anxiety. And boy, there's lots of verses we could look at here, but I've just picked out a few subtopics and a few verses here. We don't need to live a life of despair. We have hope. We have hope in this life. We have hope for the life to come. So our whole mindset should be one of confidence in God, that God is with me. God is going to help me through my difficulties and my problems in life. So God's grace is always sufficient for us. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Dolores. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly above my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, so the Apostle Paul, after he besought the Lord three times to take away some physical problem, God's answer to the Apostle Paul was, Paul, my grace, my enablement, my empowerment is sufficient for you. It's sufficient to help you do what you need to do and to keep on going in life. So that's the attitude we Christians need to have. Even as we go through hard times in life, we need to realize that God's grace will be sufficient to keep us going and to sustain us. And then the Apostle Paul says, I can endure all things. This is Philippians 4, verse 13. Mary Jo. 13.
I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. So in that chapter, Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul is recounting all the difficulties and the struggles he had. He recounts there how on some occasions he abounds and he is full, and other occasions he's empty and doesn't have very much at all. But he says that I can do all things. What the Apostle Paul means by that is I can endure all things. I can endure all situations and circumstances. Or I can make do in all circumstances and situations because Christ gives me the strength. He gives me the strength, the internal fortitude, the internal strength to keep going and trusting Him that God will provide and see to it that I am sustained. Powerful words and beautiful words by the Apostle Paul. And then I'll read letter C, God's love. Never quits. And this is from Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And here the Apostle Paul says, this is Romans 8, verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter how bad things get, you need to remember, nothing, no bad circumstance, no trial, no difficulty, no hardship can sever you or cut you off from God loving you through Jesus. So that should be encouraging, that should be reassuring. And it should help us not to be afraid, and it should take all of the despair and the despondency out of our lives. And then I have one other point. God is always with me. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Carl, go ahead and read that for us.
Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
Amen. Thank you, Carl. Yes. The writer here to Hebrews is quoting two passages. He's quoting from Psalm 118, and he's also quoting from Joshua chapter 1. God is with me. He will never leave me, never leave me, never abandon me, never quit, never walk away. You know, God is more reliable than people. I think you should know that. Sometimes people disappoint us. God will never disappoint. You know, God will always be there. He'll always be with you. And then we don't need to live in fear because God is with us. So I hope as we think of ourselves as part of Christ's victory procession, we realize we are free. We have been liberated from fear and despair. Well, one last point I have is number 6. I believe we have also been liberated from our circumstances. Yes, we feel our circumstances, but we don't need to let our circumstances hold us hostage and make us miserable. As the old saying goes, you may not be able to change your circumstances, but you can change your attitude toward your circumstances, and therein is our freedom from our circumstances. And then we had Romans 8, verse 18. I don't know who did I assign that verse? Okay, Wally, you had that one.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yep. So the Apostle Paul says, if you could put all the sufferings of this present time on one side of the ledger or on one side of the balance, and then you could look at all the glory that we're going to receive when Jesus comes and all of the glory that's going to be instilled within us, all of the sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing with all the glory that will be ours at the second coming of Christ. So we're guaranteed a happy future. And then I chose our last passage because it illustrates from the life of the Apostle Paul how he did not allow himself to be victimized by his circumstances. So, Unsung, go ahead and read this verse.
For the churches were taken in for faith.
Oh, this is, again, you have Acts chapter 16? Yeah, Acts 16, verse 25.
Hmm.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 16, verse 25. Yes, Paul and Silas had just been thrown in jail. They went to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel. And as the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel day after day after day, there was this slave girl who practiced divination. She was a fortune teller. And she kept following the Apostle Paul and Silas and saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. And they preach the way of God and the way of salvation. And after a while, this going on day after day after day, the Apostle Paul was annoyed. And so finally, the Apostle Paul cast out the demon from the slave girl. And then the masters realized all of their profits are gone because their owners were making a lot of money for her practice of divination and fortune telling. And so then these masters, these owners of this girl that was practicing divination, they brought the Apostle Paul and Silas before the authorities and got them in trouble. They said, Paul and Silas, they're turning the whole city upside down and they're causing us to do things that are not right. And so they were thrown in jail. And after they had been beaten and whipped, and then at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. And they were probably chanting psalms from the Old Testament. See? They didn't allow their circumstances to get the best of them. Oh, they could have been in there throwing a pity party for themselves. They could have been in there saying, oh, I'm gonna quit. I'm not going to serve Jesus anymore. I'm not going to preach the gospel anymore because it's not worth it. No. Paul and Silas went in there. They received their whipping and they were in there. And they deliberately chose to have a cheerful spirit. They chose to pray to God. They chose to trust in Him and they chose to sing. And guess what? The prisoners were listening. And a powerful testimony went out. And did you know you have a powerful testimony? That when you go through hard times and you handle it really well and people see your faith in God and they see your calm, quiet spirit, they see your mind of peace and tranquility, there's a powerful testimony. We don't have to be held hostage by our circumstances. Christ has set us free because in Christ Jesus, He oversees our circumstances. So again, just to remind you, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to be triumphant in Christ Jesus. Let's realize afresh tonight the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, and let's try to live it out as we live our day-to-day lives. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for what we have in Jesus. Lord, truly we are a free people. Free to serve You, free to love You, free to do Your will, free to be free from ourselves so that we're not enslaved to the worst aspects of our own lives. And Lord, we thank You that we can be free from despair and fear and worry and anxiety, and we can be free from our circumstances, and we don't have to be held hostage to our circumstances or to a situation. So Lord, help us all here tonight to truly trust in You, to depend upon You, and to realize that Your grace will always be there and be available for us, and there's nothing that we can do to sever us or cut ourselves off from the love of Christ. No difficulty, no circumstance can cut us off from being the objects of Your love forever and ever. Lord, encourage us this evening. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, our final hymn tonight is redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Yes, we're a redeemed, liberated people. 348. Hymn number 348. And we'll stand and sing just the first and the last stanza only. And let's keep up with the tempo. The hymn moves right along. 348. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. On the last. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and amen. That's good news, isn't it? I have some other good news. We have cake provided. It's the remnants of Jonathan's birthday cake. We'll have it set up here on the front table, so you're all invited for some cake. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you.
Wow, that was a nice question.